So we're all going deeper. We're going underground today. We're going undercover. And sometimes when something's undercover and unseen, you're not always aware totally, completely. You're not maybe looking after or keeping it in check or keeping it healthy. Or, if we don't see something, it can get overlooked and ignored. And I feel like God wants us to have a look underneath, undercover. Because there is more for us. We're designed for what we're talking about tonight, today. We're designed, so we're made for it. That's what it means. We're made for it. It is a very good fit. So we're wanting to do some digging. I don't know whether it's probably showing my terrible age, but my auntie and uncle used to have the radio on, and the news used to, da 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 da, news over and over and over. That was one thing. The other thing was this morning garden show. It was before then, love. I'm sorry. And it used to go, dig, 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 the whole day through. Nobody. I'm really ancient. And it was so catchy, I never listened to the thing, but it was so catchy. You knew this was the garden show. It was happening. Well, we're going to dig, 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 dig today. Because I feel like God wants us to talk about the root system, a root system. Okay? Because we all have roots. We have generational roots. We have physical, generational lines and roots. But I'm thinking more about our spiritual part of us. And because the root is the thing that keeps the whole anchored, fed, stable, flourishing, strong, capacity to reproduce. That's the root system. And I don't know whether it gets so much attention or whether we've even looked at it or even understand it. But it's important because I know I've looked at those Aldi plants sometimes. Have you ever bought Aldi plants? They're not that hot because they're not that strong. And especially if you're on the bargain table, they look like this. They're totally bowed over. And if you lifted them up, you could see roots strangled. And so that's just a quick little picture. God is wanting us to look and dig around our roots. And he uses us as a picture. He talks about us as a tree. He says in Psalm 1, verse 3, he will be standing firm like a flourishing tree, planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of life. Well, who in the heck is he? Who's he? Verse 1. What delight comes to the one who follows God's ways. Oh, that's the he. He won't walk in step with the wicked, nor share the sinner's way, nor be found sitting in the scorner's seat. His pleasure and passion is remaining true to the word of God, the I am, meditating day and night in the true revelation of light. So that's the he, the person who meditates on God. That's what he's saying, and that you will bear fruit in and out of season. Woohoo! That suits me. Roots, now I want to talk a little bit about roots. Because God has given us a picture of us. He has made us and designed us, but he uses that picture as an analogy. Roots are part of a plant which attaches the whole to the ground and carries water and nutrients and nourishment to the rest of the plant via a system of branches. If you look at roots, they go out. These root systems are essential for the plant to have life. I know I've had plants. And this is another thing. I'm not... usually Donna and Larry, Laurie are here. But Donna is a real gardener. We went to her house the other day and the roses. Oh, oh my gosh, she's given me beautiful lettuce and herbs and everything. I say she's got green fingers. I don't. I know I can have a plant inside and I water it, forget about it. And then all of a sudden it's doing the same thing. It goes down. And then I water it and have a guess what? It comes up again. Oh, you beaut, it's come to life. And then I forget about it again. And then it goes down. And that happens a few times. And in the finish, the roots say, hey, presto, I'm not getting anything out of this. I'm just going to lay down and die. So it is essential that we understand that roots are underneath. We don't see them. But if they don't get fed and nourished and watered, you will see it above the ground. You will see the results above. Plants exhibit signs of life depending on the health of their roots. This Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. So there's two words there, trust and hope. That's the third thing. So we've had, what was the first thing? That we meditate on God to have healthy roots. We trust and we hope helps us have healthy roots. And we shall be like a tree planted by the waters which spreads out its roots by the river. Because roots will always be looking and on the move to find what they need to survive. Sometimes we try to find this sustenance and nourishment from places that we can't get nourishment from. Well, we think we are, but it's not healthy nourishment. And our roots get contaminated. And that's what I often think the Aldi things are. They're contaminated. They've gone before they're in the shops. Poor Aldi. Hebrews 12:15 says, make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness or resentment or unforgiveness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many. So it's really important that we feed our roots with healthy, good things. What can contaminate us? Let me see what I've said. Well, I think... I hear all these things being said. People live online, reading all sorts of stuff, which is philosophical. Not all wrong, but I am saying that maybe they are things that can contaminate what we believe. And particularly if our roots aren't deep and are shallow. Maybe it's news. I like the news. But do you know what? It can contaminate you. Because it's doom and gloom and fear can set in. We think, what is the purpose? Where are we heading? Our country is heading for depression. You know what I mean? It's all over magnified. That can affect our roots. Even things in the addictive world can affect our roots. Things, you know, alcohol, we can go in under a slump, all sorts of things. Ephesians 3:16-17 says, and I pray that he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favour until supernatural strength floods you in your innermost being. So we're talking about that deep place, that innermost place with his divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. That is so important. We were made for our roots to be watered with God's love. And if we can do that, we will live healthily. And the other thing is having faith to believe that God is in control and we are going to trust him. With our roots, we're going to trust him with our food, our nutrients. So without adequate nourishment from this life source, a plant withers and dies, which I've told you about my good green fingers. Inadequate life source may be because of roots are too shallow. Mark 4:6 says, which is the parable of the sower. So he chucks out these seeds and some, this is the second one, throws seed landing on gravel, but the soil, there's not much soil happening. When days grow hot, the sprouts scorched and withered because they had insufficient roots. So if we just do this, meaning that we don't open it, and our feeding ourselves from God, from heaven, having that hope and that trust, meditating, sitting in His presence in our prayer meeting, we were talking about sitting by the, resting by the river in Psalm 23, the roots get shallow. They come up to the surface because they're desperately trying to find what they need. So what is the life source? Mark 4:17 says, because their hearts fail to sink deep into the word, they don't endure long. We want to be people who endure when things are tough, when the storms are happening, that we can stand, that we can trust, that we have the faith to believe that there is hope. Well, on Friday night, so I'm going to another thing that I feel. So that's one part of keeping our roots healthy. But I feel like there's another part. So on Friday night, sometimes that's about the only time we'll watch some television. And it's appalling. I mean, there's hardly a thing on. But at any rate, this old gardening show comes on. You know, the little boy, little man with his beard, the gardening show. And it was on Friday night. But this section came in. And it was a lady called Jacqueline. And she was such a out there quirky person. And she bought some land about 20 years ago at Karanda Ranges overlooking Cairns, way up north. And it was a farm and it had not a tree on it. It had all been cleared years and years before. And there wasn't a tree on it. And she has turned it back into a rainforest. You can't believe it. It is totally full of trees. And also in her heart was she wanted to supply a food source for, and who, put your hand up if you know what this is. Yeah, you saw it. Cassowaries. Well, they're sort of like an emu, but nicer. Not quite as tall. I hate emus and don't like these much either, but they sort of had a fuller feather. They did look a bit better, but big feet, and they sort of stealthily go around like this. At any rate, she fell in love with them, and she wanted to grow a species that would provide food for them, right? So she started a nursery, and she called on locals to volunteer. I love it. It was a community thing. And they started by, this is how they started. And they still do this. They go around and find all the cassowaries' poo. And they wash it all out. And inside that poo are all these things like this, round balls, which are seeds. They cut them in half and they plant them into soil. And then they, so this was like, you know how you call a nursery? Well, it's like a baby nursery. It's all these little seedlings. So it goes from that to a little seedling like that, and then to a tree like that, and then a bigger one, and eventually they put them out into the paddock. And it's just this slow process, which they get very excited about. And they are watching the bubbers, watching where the roots are. Right, these roots are starting to outgrow the pot. I'll move them to the bigger pot and then the bigger pot. And then they put them into the paddock. Now, when I'm looking today, there are all these mature 50 centimetre tall trees that have these things, this fruit that drops down and they have it. And that keeps them healthy, keeps them alive. But part of, let me just get where I am. So this is a food system for this animal, but it also helps the tree. Like it's a process with animal and trees, but I'm mainly talking about the trees because they are the ones that are getting nurtured and then they're putting into the paddock. And that has become a rainforest. When trees are in a rainforest, they look after each other. They protect each other. They, it creates dampness so that there's lots of falling leaves and poo and the roots go deep and there is a protection from storm, etc. So those trees get protection, safety, moisture retention and lots of nutrients. Then on Friday night, we watched a cooking show. You know, so you know exactly what we did on Friday night. We watched a cooking show. The guy's got the farm in Tasmania and he and his mates went for a fishing expedition and went to a rainforest. And he stood at the bottom of this hugest tree you ever see, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. How did that stay? How did that have longevity? How did it grow so tall? Because I believe part of it is because it was in a rainforest. It was amongst other trees. Psalm 92:12 says, "Yes, look how you have made all your lovers to flourish. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon." They're the tallest, strongest, immovable trees. "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall bear fruit in old age." Woohoo! "They shall be fresh and flourishing and declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness." Forest, house of God. Being looked after and protected from the storms. Forest, house of God. In the recent fires in Queensland, I'm sure you will have remembered about the fires in Queensland just recently. They were terrible and they covered all so many acres and acres of forest. And the newspapers said, "Oh, the rainforests have gone and the wildernesses have gone." At any rate, I saw an article in the paper last week and the people who lived there said that was not true. The rainforest did not get touched. It came up to the rainforest, but it did not go into the rainforest. It did not take the rainforest out because the rainforest has self-protection. Why? Because there's these big trees with deep roots who create shade, create moisture retention on the floor of the forests and falling leaves, mulch, automatic mulch, no big tubs. And I thought that was a great picture. What am I driving at? What is my point? Glad you asked. I'm suggesting our gathering here is like a forest. There is protection, there is safety, there is nutrients, retention of goodness through each other. So it's not just this, it's relational as well. Psalm 92 says, "Those who are planted, roots go deeper." If we plant somewhere, blessing comes. You are looked after, you are cared for, you are encouraged. In the house of the Lord, God never created us to live separately. He never created us to be independent. He created us to be in a forest of God. Woohoo! You're all trees. And we can bear fruit. Hello! Those trees in the Karanda Ranges were producing fruit for those Cassandras, because whatever they are, those ugly animals. Fruit orchards, say fruit orchards. They are all in lines. But when rainstorms come, which they do, hot sun comes, yes, wind, what do you call that? Harsh elements. Have you had any of those yourself? Remember, you're a tree too. Have you had any of those? Of course we have, even this week. We have. But have a guess what? Those root systems thrive on that. They are those hard times are catalysts for the roots to go deeper and to spread out deeper and to source what they need. We want to run away from those things, but I'm just encouraging us, me and all of us, don't run, because you've got deep roots and God will sustain you. You will be able to grow taller and higher and more fruitful. You will be able to multiply. And what do you call those? Mature trees. We can be mature. I think we need to be planted in the house of God for maturity to totally come through. In our journey and experiencing God, I believe God wants us to put our roots down. Put them down deeply. You know what? If I could see a storm coming, we've lived in lots of different houses and we've been on lakes where you could see storms coming right across, you know. We'll just say I had an orchard. I could see the storms coming. I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to do something about this. Out I go. I pull up all the fruit trees, every one of them. I put them into the big shed. I put a bit of water over the roots just to keep them. Oh, phew, it's passed. Oh, right. Now I get them all back out. I jam them back into the ground. Think, oh, gee, I hope they thrive. But of course, there's going to be a problem. Because we're not meant to be lifted up, jammed somewhere, and then lifted up. God wants us to plant. He wants us to put roots down. He wants us to revel in each other. He wants us to engage with each other. He wants us to see how incredible we all are and recognize it, draw it out, encourage. That's how it is. And when something happens to any of us, have a guess what? We're there. We're shoring up. We're standing close. We're holding hands. We're barracking for each other. And I believe that's what this is about. He wants us to put our roots down. We don't want to be in survival mode. We don't want to think, oh, gee, am I going to get knocked over in this storm? You got to know, my roots are down. I've been here before and I have proved God faithful. I have proved I can trust him. I can prove that there is hope in his name. And that's the tree that I'm talking about, which I'm making out being our church. Do you know what? My mum always said, you know, because I was born and bred in the church. Not literally, but, you know, sort of I did life in the church. And I used to come home and say, oh, you know, complain. And my mother always said, look, love, she said, where there's human beings, there's problems. Just because it's a church doesn't mean to say there's no problems, because it's full of human beings. Oh, right. So sometimes we think everybody's got to be holier than thou. That's impossible. That's ridiculous. We've got to be who God's made us to be. We've all got warts. Me, of course. I've got plenty of them. And but do you know what? God is into that. He loves us to be ourselves. He loves us to be upfront and honest. He loves us to look to each other. It's look to God and look to each other. That's the relational side. Do you know what? There's only one perfect pastor. I'll just get this one settled up. And that's Jesus. He was the best and the only perfect pastor. But you know what? The disciples had hassles. Oh, my gosh. You know, Peter, oh, gee, Jesus just ticked me off, you know. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. So off he goes and John says, oh, well, a few of them, I can't remember. Oh, I'm the best here. I'm the number one and I'm the number two. We'll sit beside you, Jesus, when we get to him. There was always stuff going on. They were human. But Jesus was perfect. But there was still this human element there. But have a guess what? They stayed. The disciples stayed. And they became so influential, such amazing multipliers. That's what we're called to be. Look, you have no idea what God wants to do through us and in us. If we will plant, put our roots down in Him and put our roots down in the house of God. So I just want to finish with Ephesians 3. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all his dimensions, how deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love, how enduring and inclusive it is, endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. That's what we're called for. For the fullness of God to overflowing. Our roots will be watered. Our roots will be given, bone and blood and bone. Because things happen in our world, even in the house of God. I call that the poo factor. But you know, God is there. His love for him and each other will help us to stand, to be multipliers, to flourish, no fear, and to be those ones that don't get knocked over in the storm, because we become mature. We become those who can hold the fruit and can help the next person to become fruit bearers. And it's all in those different things that I've mentioned, and to sum it up, to be washed through with God's love, his extravagant love poured through us, overflowing with the fullness of God. There'll be no plants going like this. We might have moments of it, but when we come back to that place where we let God feed us and where we look to each other to support us in the house of God, it's going to be amazing. We will see exponential growth. We will see people discover who Jesus is and his love. We will see people discover Jesus for the first time. We will see this place grow. If you think it's going to stay like this, it's not. Because this is the house of God, and this is where our roots can go down deeply. This is where we can grow and be deep-rooted, mature trees out there, because people need it. They're dying to find trees that have got arms and legs. Amen.